Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Shield.com.
From Hovis's Hemi Hideout in Brookshire, Texas, podcasting and streaming around the globe, it's the In Wheel Time car talk show. Just ahead, more guests from today's open house here at the Hideout. Jeff has a feature on five things you shouldn't do while driving a manual transmission.
You bet.
Let's see. Making omelets. pouring martinis.
No, you can. That's allowed.
All that and more just ahead on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world, Mars, who's off gallivanting around looking for our next guest. We need more Jeff Zekin.
Yep.
Our
chief bottle washer.
And potentate.
Another rare and special appearance by the Jack LaLanne of automotive, David Ainsley. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us today. Did you like that?
The Jack LaLanne
of automotive.
Is he still alive?
No, he's been dead for years.
Really?
But
is that what you're saying I am?
No, I didn't say that at all.
I said it.
But, you know, Mr. Health and Fitness over here, along with many other things that can't be repeated on the air. David Ainsley. Thank you for joining us as always.
Glad to be here.
What would you do without us?
There's your next guest coming up right there.
Bill Seitz?
Oh, yeah.
Are you shaking his head? No. But yes, we're shaking our head. Yes. Just sit down and shut up. Bill Seitz has been a long, well, he may not consider me.
Sit here.
He may not consider me a friend, but I consider him a friend. I met he and his wife in 1977. It was 78. And the reason I say that is because I took delivery on the 77 Corvette in October, and I ordered it in July. So it took me a while to think, okay, well, I got a Corvette. Ooh, Corvette Club. Okay, so I started poking around, looking in newspaper ads when they had those little bitty box ads and stuff, you know, help wanted ads. And I saw San Jacinto Corvette Club. I thought, well, that'll be fun. So I go to those boring open meetings. Could the secretary please read the minutes? Yeah, let me just go ahead and curl up and die on the floor with the minutes. It's like some sort of high school play. Anyway, so right out of the box, here comes Sharon and Bill. Hi, we're Sharon and Bill Seitz. Welcome to the Corvette Club. I think she was Sharon the president? He needs his microphone
on
David.
He's on Mike's mic.
He's on Mike's mic. Has Mike turned it now? Just hold on. Go over there and turn the damn thing on, would you? Mike has got all sorts.
There you go.
Okay.
Is that on now?
I think it's on now, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I feel much better.
So was Sharon president of the San Jacinto Corvette Club in 78?
She wasn't involved in the San Jacinto Club.
Who was? Well, were you the president?
No.
Who was the president? No, I don't want to know.
That was 100 years ago. I don't have a clue. I know.
In 78, wasn't that, that was Lyndon Johnson.
It wasn't quite that old, but at any rate,
president.
So I don't know whether y'all were the welcoming committee or whatever, but you two came up to me and said, hi, we're Bill and Sharon. Welcome to the club. You a member? No? Great. Well, we're going to cost you $25 for join. I just came to visit. Oh, okay, sit down. So I sat down, and that was the beginning of what we've come to today.
Yep.
And I'm so sorry. My apologies.
It wasn't long after that we kind of broke off from San Jacinto.
Well, as a matter of fact, I mentioned that. I don't know whether you heard that or not, but yes, because if memory serves me, and I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but San Jacinto at the time, there were a lot of racers in there.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, the hot rodders and all that stuff. And we were more of the show car sissies. We didn't really have cruise-ins back then, not that I recall.
Not a lot.
But we had, you know, in the park car shows on the weekend, on a Saturday or a Sunday. And so we kind of got together with that stuff.
Yep.
And we started our own club because they didn't want to do all of the car shows that we wanted to do. We wanted to compete on another level.
You saw how that worked out. Ours has been gone for a long time, and San Jacinto's still hanging in there.
Yeah, they are. But that's okay.
But it was fun.
It was fun. It was an experience, that for sure.
The snowy trip up to Oklahoma City.
Oh, my God, yes. I will never forget that. On the back of an open car carrier.
That helped a lot.
Oh, it helped a great bit because your car's kind of tilted up. So all of the dirty snow and water goes all up underneath all of that hard work that you spent months cleaning to be perfect in every way, all ruined and trashed. And it took days, never ever got it clean after that. So I'm telling you, dude, I don't ever want to have that experience again in my life. You see how gray our hair is?
No, that's, I didn't notice that.
That's because of that trip. That turned it gray.
That's what did it. That's what did it.
Yeah, it did. But anyway, so we have history.
What are you working on now?
Artwork.
Anything?
Just my artwork. Yeah. Not working on the cars anymore. Getting down there and getting back up is not working out real well.
Yeah. So you got something you're going to put in here in the near future?
No, I'm just doing illustrations for different folks and different car clubs and things like that.
And I mentioned that. I don't know whether you were privy to that when I announced that to the world. But while John was doing his thing, I said for everybody to be sure and look at the artwork that's on the walls and the centerpiece out there under the cupola. And that's my friend Bill Seitz. And he did all of that. Very talented guy, very wonderful artist. And so I kind of pumped you up. And I didn't really mean it.
That was good. I couldn't find the line that was waiting to meet me, but I'm sure that there were some folks over there.
Maybe. He couldn't find the line of the people that were waiting to meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just missed it. He just passed
it
by.
I know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that.
Story of my life.
Yes. I'm familiar with
that. He was in the wrong line. That's what it was.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again. So, that's good that you're still doing your artwork. Do you advertise that you do artwork?
No, but I need to get back into that and do that. I'm branching out, too. I'm starting to do some aircraft as well as automobiles.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
I have a connection.
Really? I might talk to you about that.
Yeah, I have aircraft connection.
I was on an air crew in the Navy, so the three aircraft that I flew on, I've illustrated those. In fact, they're over there.
Really?
You ought to take a look.
Where are they?
I will.
Right in my display. That you probably walk right by and
I didn't know that you had a display.
Yeah, they're right there in the wall.
Yeah, he's not advertising. He just has a display over there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'll have to remember that. You'll have to take me by the hand over there because clearly my eyesight is failing me.
Been there, done that.
Well, you know how that goes. That's the second time that goes.
Use GPS.
The second thing that goes. Thank you, Mars.
I'm back.
He's back.
Did you find anybody?
Yes.
Good man.
So Bill helped build this, and I guess you would call it the construction supervisor. What title would you put on that? Because it was kind of like a do-all.
I was the project coordinator.
That'll work.
I built nothing, but I kind of coordinated the folks that had
put that over there.
So in other words, you'll have like the concrete guy come on one day.
We had a construction superintendent and construction manager that actually worked closely with the subcontractors, but somebody kind of had to keep it all coordinated.
Well, I'll never forget, I ran into you and you said, listen, when this thing is built, you've got to come out and see this thing. Did he have a name for it back then?
We were still making lists.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of threw in a name or two to see
So what are some of those names? Obviously, this one won, but...
I don't recall. I can't even recall the one that I put in, which did not win. But Hemi Hideout, and I don't know who put that in, but it just seemed to fit. And
yeah, it does. Clicked. Yeah, it does. It's very good. But when did John hire you to start your position and help build this thing?
It's about 2010.
2010. Yeah. So 14 years ago.
Thank you. Yes.
That, right. And
we spent 2.5 years building it, and then...
What took so damn long? Were you part of the highway crew that is trying to fix it?
You're running
out
this show?
It was a project coordinator.
It was the project coordinator that did it. That's what drug it all down. How long did it take to build this?
About 2.5 years total from the time we put flags in the ground marking the spot until we finished paving out by the main gate and opened up.
Oh, so you did the paving too out from the main
gate?
John
had all that done. We actually used the dirt coming in here instead of the broken up blacktop that was for the main road.
Gotcha.
And fortunately, that was the year 2011, I think we had the big drought for like a year or two.
Yes.
Which was a blessing for this place because we had no downtime. And it wasn't a big muddy mire. We'd have still been stuck out there.
Yeah.
So the ponds that I see out here driving in, were those dug or were those natural formations?
There were some ponds already there that I think John and his family had put in before, but we dug them much deeper. It was extensive. The geothermal heating and cooling expert said that heat transfer is best in water. So we said instead of drilling holes typically that you'll put piping in for geothermal cooling, run it out to the pond. And, of course, then he said, well, it's not quite deep enough, so we excavated about 3,000 truckloads of dirt.
Oh, my gosh.
So you added ponds, and the existing you dug deeper.
Much deeper. And we put a big glorified radiator, heat transfer, a heat radiator in the deep end of that one pond. It looked like a construction project for a highway or a lake.
I'm
It was amazing.
Yep.
Wow. And that's all. You took photos for the historical part of it, or is there a timeline that maybe there's a book that you can look through? And
don't have a book. I took about 2,000 photographs, and we've got a small 80 photograph chronological display
I was looking for, the chronological part of it.
And that gives folks a taste of kind of how it worked from groundbreaking all the way through the progression all the way to the end.
How long did it take him to raise the structure itself once the foundation was poured? Recall? Several months?
Relatively quick, a couple months. There was a team of about five or six guys that do this. They came out here and had a couple trucks, and we had two-man lifts and about 150 come-alongs, big, ratchet deals.
You grab that end, I'll grab this end, let's lift it up.
Yeah.
And it went up just like crazy.
So were there cranes involved?
We had two cranes, yes. They'd take each one of these big truss assemblies, and they'd build it flat on the ground. Or on the concrete, assemble it, and then they'd have a crane raise it up into position, tie it into the concrete. Then it would sit there with it suspended, and the next crane, we had two, would raise the next truss, and then they'd tie them together so they're freestanding and move the cranes down and so on.
And this was all new for you, was it not?
Pretty new, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean,
I Googled it.
Yeah, Googled it. I know for a while that you worked for a Fluor. And so
years ago,
years ago, but that was not your focus at all.
Not related. No.
No.
I've done a lot of things.
Successfully.
Have you always been an artist, or is just one time in your life you just picked it up and said, "Hey, I can do this"? Or as a child, you've always done art?
Always liked it right from the get go. My dad was artistically inclined. He didn't pursue that as a profession. Thank goodness, it doesn't pay much. But it's been my talent for a long time. Don's, the illustration I did for you was one of the first ones I did.
It's in the studio.
It's in the studio.
Yeah. Cool. It's in the studio.
I probably need to touch that up for you a little bit.
Well, it is a watercolor, and it has faded, but that's okay. I like it the way that it is.
I can touch it up if you like.
Well, it kind of matches Don.
A little faded.
It looks old and faded.
Old and faded. Old and pathetic. But,
he didn't say that.
But the structure is still there.
He's right.
Like frame. I said, I can touch that up.
Solid frame.
You can. Yeah, I know you can. But I will tell you this. I told the story about the Pontiac Sunfire.
Bird.
Was
Sunbird.
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 All right, Sunbird that Sharon had. And the air conditioning went out on it. And
I don't recall that.
Yes, you do. And I'll never forget going over to his house. And half the stuff underneath the hood is torn out of the car. I said, "Bill, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm trying to fix the air conditioning." "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, the compressor did this, and the evaporator did that." I'm going, "I don't know anything about any of that." So he got the book out and somehow managed to figure it all how it all works and put it all back together, and it worked.
Amazing.
If I'd have done that, it'd still be laying on the floor.
I remember that now. Yes, I do. You know the story of how we bought that car?
One. No.
Sharon and I, being the masters of negotiation, we went into a Pontiac dealer, that on I-10 somewhere out in the Katy. We were going for a Grand Prix. She had one when she was younger. And found out that we couldn't afford it, so there was a really neat Sunbird on the showroom floor.
Oh, God. A brown
one. And we said, "We want that one." And so instead of a Grand Prix, we came in with a Sunbird.
Oh, my God.
Because it was a pretty color.
Kathy bought a Taurus SHO off the showroom years ago because it was petty blue, gray interior.
This was not that. This was not that.
I think I paid as much for it as we did with the Grand Prix in the long run.
Yeah, trying to keep it running. So I do remember that vividly. I also remember one summer, we had no rain. They go out of town. Don, will you come over and water the grass? Yeah. Well, what I didn't realize is that they set me up, is what they did, because they had watered the grass about 3 days earlier. Well, it was already in decline, and I go over there, and I skipped one night, God knows for what reason, but it started the decline rapidly. And I'm watering. I'm thinking, my God, how much water is it going to take to get this thing to come back? I knew nothing about grass. Mm-hmm. Well, certain types. And I will tell you that whole yard, Bill, when they got back, they went, oh, no, this is not going to work. So Bill goes out and buys a St. Augustine remover and tears up the entire grass that I failed at keeping it alive and buys all new sod. God knows how much it cost. Have it delivered and then lays it all out there. Who did it? Don Armstrong ruined the grass.
You didn't share in the expense of that either, I don't think.
No, I did not.
I remember.
You want to give him an invoice
cutter.
Today?
I remember cutting that sod up, and it liked to kill me. I'm still hurting from that.
Well, that was a machine, and you can't pull that wool over our eyes. But it was still a machine. It was a heavy machine. It was a heavy machine with some sort of gasoline motor on it, and I don't know how it worked. But
it was evil.
It was evil. See, it was the devil on the St. Augustine that tore it out of there. Yeah. So we have experiences. We have history together. The Seitzes and the Armstrong.
Some of it's interesting, most of it's boring.
But it made you know, part of our lives what we are today.
That's right.
So it was good times, and Bill was kind enough, and he probably regrets it today. I know John does, to introduce me to John Hovis and bring me out into the Hemi Hideout, and I've been a fan ever since.
We love having you out here. It's fun.
Thank you, man. And so. You know, John kind of breezed over the fact that he's got 30 people that kind of help in all of this. I know that you and Sharon are part of that crew, but explain to everybody how that works. So they have an event out here. Depending on what kind of event, they'll call in all the crew or a few people from the crew.
Shelley puts a list out, emails it to everybody who's involved or wants to be involved.
Who's available.
We pick whoever's available, and we'll come out and help out. He pays us absolutely nothing. And it's just wonderful.
Yeah, well, you know, it's for a good cause. And, you know, I've never heard anybody complain about the fact I had to pay $10 to get in. Well, I did take that back. Tommy Noto complained one time because he didn't know that he had to pay cash and they don't take credit cards. So he spent an hour trying to find an ATM around here. There is nothing around here with an ATM. He had to go down the freeway to get the 20 bucks for he and his wife to get in here.
They ain't getting past Paula.
And you would think some friends would have gave him 20 bucks, instead of him going down the road.
Well, I didn't know that would have paid his way in, but I didn't know he was here. So how am I to know? I guess I just go dump my wallet over there to Paula, and she'll just dole it out for me.
Yeah, whoever needs it.
Hey, I know Don Armstrong. Oh, well, here you go. Here's some tickets. $10 out of that,
no.
$10 there.
$50 if you know Don.
That's exactly right. Well, we love you, Bill Seitz, and Sharon Seitz, and thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Always enjoy talking with you guys. It's wonderful.
And you too, my friend. Okay, where are we in this
break
mess?
Time.
It is break time. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is available 24/7 through the iHeartRadio app. Just look for In Wheel Time Car Talk. We also video stream our 3-hour weekly show on Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com. And podcasts, believe it or not, are at your favorite podcast provider. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Pro-Am Auto Accessories has been serving Houston's auto enthusiasts since 1984, providing world-class products for sports cars, European sedans, and American muscle. Pro-Am is known as the place to go to find exclusive and hard-to-find parts and accessories. Pro-Am is one of the very first distributors in the USA for brands such as Recaro, Redline, Momo, Corbo, and Simpson. Located in the heart of Houston's premier retail and service corridor, the Galleria area, Pro-Am's walk-in storefront includes an 8,000-square-foot warehouse, showroom, and installation bays. Pro-Am not only sells parts and accessories, but also offers installation and service. Pro-Am is now reaching a worldwide audience through Pro-Am.com, taking its local reputation to the rest of the world. At Pro-Am Auto, you'll be dealing with a small group of professionals who truly want to help you with your automotive needs. If you don't see what you're looking for on the website, call and Pro-Am will lend you a hand. Pro-Am Auto, 6125 Richmond at Green Ridge in Houston's Galleria area. Call them at 713-781-7755. Want to feel good about something special you did for someone special? In Wheel Time and the original Loopy Tortilla group of Tex-Mex restaurants have joined together to help a very worthy cause, God's Garage, a Christian-based 501c3 charity. We know there are lots of places and organizations out there where you can donate a car, truck, or SUV, but we're asking you, our car enthusiast family, to consider donating to God's Garage. Visit godsgarage.org and learn about its mission, the women that have been helped, how each one is screened, and about their Restore You program. A car donation is an easy way to make a difference in the lives of others. God's Garage needs good operating vehicles, but will take all types in working and non-working condition. Make your heart and soul feel good by donating your gently used vehicle and help support single mothers, widows, and wives of deployed military at godsgarage.org.
Okay. We are back on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show, and joining us now, Shelley Gates. Okay, who's Shelley Gates? Well, Shelley Gates really runs the Hemi Hideout.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, have a wedding, or, you know, you want to come out and visit,
or an event like this,
private tour, an event like this, she's the one that gets your email and she's the one that coordinates it. And then we say, oh, are we invited? And Shelley always says,
no,
no, you're not. Well, can we elbow our way in? Well, I guess. So
you're always invited.
Thank you. Well, John made that clear today. I said, you know, I understand you're having more and more of these open houses. And he said, yeah. He says, anytime you want to come, we want to have you here. I said,
absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's tons of fun. And we enjoy it. And today, oh, my gosh, what a crush of people.
Yeah. They're all out looking at the cars right now.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. Everybody's saying, man, you got to go out there and see the line. How can I see the line? I'm on the air. I can't go see the line.
Yes, there was 170 Corvettes that we counted. And I counted 12 Vipers, but someone said 14. So
okay, 12, 14, whatever. Yeah, yeah. And other cars as well, because sure. I know there's some hot rods that were
They're
in the
so
back.
Fast, they got by you.
Oh, right.
They didn't get by. They did not get by Paula. I can promise
no, not
you
Paula.
That.
No, got by Shelley.
So, how are things going out here?
Well, this month, February, has been just as busy as our December's. Typically, December is our busy.
I know. And what's up with that?
I don't know. It's good for us.
Well, I know. It keeps everything busy. And, you know, the other thing is, every time I come here, the cars have moved around.
I did move a couple on you. You asked if they were new. I just put them in a different spot.
I see. Well, because I wasn't used to sitting in. Do you actually rearrange these cars yourself?
Well, the guys that work here on the property, they help me move stuff like that.
Gotcha.
You coordinate, put that one there, move this one here,
yes.
And they do all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, it seems like every event that you have here, you kind of rearrange stuff depending on the event. Tables, no tables, some tables, not as many tables, that kind of stuff.
Right. You have to, and you want it to look a little different when you come,
yeah,
especially for repeat.
But, you know, the other thing is that people don't realize that, like, for instance, the Bulldog sign, I saw all the postings on Facebook about raising the Bulldog.
Right.
That was huge. That was,
yes.
Well, how many days did that take?
Oh, just a couple, because Bill Prokopic, who does the restoration, he's very organized, and so he made sure to have a plan before he implemented it. And so it was actually pretty quick once he got started.
Well, he had to finish building it on the ground first,
right,
with those dimensions, and then coordinate to put it up. So.
Right. He made a template and put the template up there to make sure that the Bulldog would fit.
I remember that, yeah.
And so it was a process, but he hung it pretty quickly.
It's amazing because, you know, the first time I came out here, there were a few signs, but nothing like this. Nothing.
Right. But even back then, people thought it was full.
I know.
It looked full, but it wasn't.
It's not full now. You got more space.
No,
I'm spot over there.
I'm seeing a hole right up here.
Come on now.
Yeah, we could always find lots of stuff. But in the meantime, all of this stuff has gone in here over the past 15 years, something like that.
Well, the Hemi hideout will turn 11 years old in March.
11.
And so a little before completion of what we called complete March, 11 years ago, he started buying a few oil and gas signs, gas pumps to decorate the Hemi hideout, and then going traveling around the United States to different auctions.
Listen, I've heard those stories about that.
Do you go with them? Have you attended any of those?
To more local, like Round Top a couple times a year.
But no, she's talking about trips to up to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I know that, but I didn't know if she was part of that within the organization going up and maybe have a position for
helping out. A lot of the auctions are also online, so I do look at those to help with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have fun.
We're all keeping our eyes open for the next
big sign like this one back here.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's truly amazing. I don't know how you do what you do because it's, as I've said before, it's like herding cats, trying to keep all of this going and moving and making sure that everything happens the way that it should. So, you know, it's got to be, it's what a rewarding job that is, though. How fun.
Definitely. Well, I love it. And I know a lot of other designers and decorators would kill for my job.
Yeah, no doubt. But. Man, you know, and every Christmas you do such a great job with the Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
In the middle out there. And I'm thinking, well, this is what she does. This is not just her hobby. This is her profession.
Right.
And that's how you really kind of got into all this, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. John and Diane hired you to help.
Right. Well, they first remodeled their home and then another building apartment on the property here. And then John laid out the plans of the Hemi hideout. Of course, it was smaller. It wasn't this, you know, five stories tall with patios. And I said, you know, I'm residential. I do homes. And he goes, it's my garage. I want you to help me with it.
My garage. You know anybody that's got a garage like this?
John.
John, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, you know, I'm a part of some different car clubs. I want a place to come and hang out. You know, in Texas here, it's really hot at times. So I want a place to escape the heat. So I need a kitchen. We might want to do some pancakes in the morning.
I could go for a pancake right now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Then we needed a lounge, you know, to hang out, and watch TV.
And then you got a hold of the drawings for the restrooms and went, no. We got to redo that.
Right. Yeah. We need more than one restroom.
Yeah.
Women needs their separate area.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you did that. Well, it's great to talk to you. And, Shelly, it's really an honor and pleasure to come out here and do these broadcasts.
Thank you.
We always have such a good time. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah,
appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you.
Shelly Gates. She is Ms. Hemi Hideout. All right.
There you go.
Today's In Wheel Time Car Show is sponsored by the group of original Loopy Tortilla restaurants in Houston, Beaumont, and College Station, Gulf Coast Auto Shield, and Pro-Am Auto Accessories. We'll continue the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show right after this quick break.
The original group of Loopy Tortilla restaurants will have you telling your family and friends just what the original recipes mean when it comes to the best fajitas in Southeast Texas. Founder Stan Holt invites you to visit the original Loopy Tortilla near I-10 and Highway 6. Here's the original house that inspired the design of all the rest and the original charm that helped make Loopy Tortilla the go-to destination for Houston Tex-Mex. Speaking of original, nothing can compete with the original lime pepper marinade that everyone will agree makes Loopy Tortilla award-winning beef fajitas the best anywhere. Loopy Tortilla Katy is another location that gives you the same quality and service Houstonians have come to expect at Loopy's. It's located just off I-10 of the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard in Katy. Find yourself in Aggieland? Head to the Loopy Tortilla in College Station, located just around the corner from Kyle Field. It's a great place to enjoy those famous frozen margaritas before or after the game. Headed east to Louisiana, stop in at the Loopy Tortilla in Beaumont. It twos on I-10. You can't miss it. The original group of Loopy Tortilla restaurants invites you in for the best Tex-Mex anywhere. You own a car you love. Well, why not let Gulf Coast Auto Shield protect it?
Houstonian John Gray invites you to his state-of-the-art facility to introduce you to his specialist team of auto enthusiasts. We promise you'll be impressed. Whether you're looking to massage your original paint to a like-new appearance, apply a ceramic coating, install a paint protection film, nano-ceramic window tint, or new windshield protection called ExoShield, Gulf Coast Auto Shield is where Houston's car people go. Curbed your wheels? Instead of buying new, why not have them repaired? How about a professionally installed radar detector? Gulf Coast Auto Shield does that too. Get a peek inside the shop and look at the services offered by getting online and heading to gcautoshield.com. Better yet, stop by their facility at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway, and get a personal tour. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is your place to go for all things exterior. Call them today, 832-930-5655 or gcautoshield.com. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartPodcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.